Hello and welcome back to my FPL channel. I'm FPL Dion and today you're here for a very important top transfer tips for game week 35. And yes, there are a number of players that you should be looking in at getting rid of out of your teams. The transfers in, the transfer out this week is actually really exciting because at the moment we still are waiting for the Premier League to announce any fixtures. But the longer it goes on, the more it becomes more likely that there'll be no blanks and no doubles for the remainder of the season. But that doesn't mean that they won't announce something on Friday. It is potential. I've seen rumours that apparently they're consulting with Man City about moving their fixture with Bournemouth into game week 36. And if that means that's happening, then I would expect Crystal Palace versus Wolves also to go into 36. But we don't know. There's been no announcement. So until there is, we can't do anything else. Before we go any further, smash a like on the video, leave a comment with the moves that you're making this week. Are you taking minus points? What are you doing? And if you haven't already, please feel free to subscribe. We've just ticked over 1,500 subscribers. So again, thank you very much to everyone that has subscribed. I'm glad you're enjoying the content and long may it continue. And let's jump into it. The FDR for game week 35, here it is. And look, we've got four game weeks left of the season and there is not much left to do, but it is about fixture targeting. This is the time of the season where you've got 25% of the rest of your season is in game week 35. And for that reason, your transfers have to be targeted on that. So like, obviously, one thing I want to point in, obviously a lot of people going back to their teams from game week 33 and lots of people going back to double Arsenal defense. And I'm telling you, double Arsenal defense looks absolutely horrible on paper, along with sucker owners between now and 37. Like, are they going to keep a clean sheet against Bournemouth at home in the middle of their Champions League tie? Are they going to keep a clean sheet away at Liverpool? Are they going to keep a clean sheet at home against Newcastle? I think the answer is no. So for that reason, Saliba, Raya definitely can both be sells this particular game week. They don't feature in the sells column because I think that they're really good assets if you can just keep them on your bench until game week 38 when they've got an amazing fixture if you don't have a free hit. But I think for the next 3 weeks, you want to be dodging Arsenal as much as humanly possible. Brentford are a team you want to be targeting along with Villa and Bournemouth. Villa, Bournemouth, Fulham, Nottingham Forest, Man City, Newcastle, Chelsea, they all have something to play for. They are all playing for European spots, even Brighton, but I wouldn't be going anywhere near Brighton. They just concede too many goals and they spread the points around a bit too much. But those teams, I would 100% be targeting and hoping that you load up on the good fixtures. So for example, Brentford have two amazing fixtures, Manchester United at home this week, then Ipswich away the following week. Really good assets that you could be targeting. Brian Mbeumo, Wissa, even a Damsgaard, a Shade, or a Collins in the back line, a Flecken in goals. All these assets are really good. And then we have a look at Everton. Now, I know David Moyes and Graham Potter, who's in charge of West Ham now, may not have anything to play for in terms of they're not going to get in Europe, they're not going to get relegated. But these two managers are new. They want to set up their teams up probably to finish the season well, to springboard into next season. And for that reason, I still think that those two teams are perfectly fine to target. Jarrod Bowen, Wan-Bissaka, all really good options for West Ham. Maybe even a Suchek if you're feeling bold, or a Kudos. Or a Falkrug up front, but I just can't see him fitting in. And then Everton. Everton have two of the easiest fixtures at home the next 3 weeks. Great for a defensive data. If you're looking to make a defensive transfer, it has to be an Everton defender this week or a Nottingham Forest one with the fixtures they've got as well. There's a lot to love there, and I would be getting excited. I would definitely be fixture targeting now or just going with blokes that are 100% players in form. That's the aim of the game. Make as many points between now and the end of the season. The assistant manager is a table bonus for game week 35. And some people are on the assistant managership this week because they've left it till now. And realistically, unless there's a double game week in 36, I think it was way better to play it between 31 and 33 and 24 and 26. On reflection, I don't think there's any chance of managers getting anywhere near the points total of 56, 53, whatever it is that has happened over those particular game weeks. But this week, it has to be Oliver Glasner. Crystal Palace have had a massive gap between the FA Cup and when they're going to be playing Nottingham Forest. And it's at home. Nottingham Forest have to go there off the back of playing tonight. Maybe you're going to watch this video after Nottingham Forest and Brentford have played tonight. Maybe you will have a different opinion post this game. But Glasner is clearly the standout candidate this week by a country mile. The fixtures at home as well, which makes a lot of sense. Coming in at number two is Areola, based on the fact that Arsenal are probably going to be very distracted, play a very rotated team here. Evanilson's been cleared from his ban, so he's perfectly fine. You don't need to sell him, so hopefully you haven't jumped the gun too early. That ban's been rescinded. No, you're not getting your points back if you had him in your team in game week 34. You're still getting the -3, and he's only getting up with 2 points there. But he will be available this weekend against Arsenal, which increases the chances of Bournemouth getting something out of this game. So he definitely comes in at number two. Hurzel versus Newcastle United comes in at number three, mainly because of the fact that that fixture is at home. If that fixture was away, he would be ranked fourth this week. I don't think Brighton are in very good form at all, but that's just my personal opinion. And then Pereira, he goes away to Manchester City, and Manchester City are fighting for Europe. I mean, this could be the game where Erling Haaland comes off the bench and comes back into the Man City team as well. I wouldn't be going anywhere near him. He would be a distinct fourth. I mean, he has been super good for table bonus. I've done the stats, but I just think, yes, Wolves are in pretty good form, but this is Manchester City, and this is Manchester City that know they need to win for European Champions League next year. I can't see them dropping any points here. I can't see Wolves scoring either. So the top transferred in and out players for game week 35, the top 20 transferred in and the top 20 out. Now, it's no surprises when we look at the transferred out players that Cole Palmer is top of the list yet again. The man is now down to 10.6 million. Like, he's almost back to his starting price. I think there's a world where he actually finishes below his starting price at the rate he is going. There's no flags. He just continues to be sold, continues to underperform. He's 100% a sell. Chelsea's fixture run the next 3-4 weeks, other than Manchester United, does not screen points for a man that is distinctly out of form and has not scored now in, I think, 13 game weeks or something stupid like that. Robinson, I think he has to be sold as well. Fulham have Aston Villa this week, and I don't really think he's going to keep a clean sheet between now and the end of the season. And Vanlinson is no longer a sell. Yes, a lot of people jumped the gun here early. 55,000 managers, in fact, have jumped the gun early and sold him, probably thinking he's going to be suspended for the next three games. He's now available. You're probably regretting that transfer. Unless, obviously, you have a wild card, then you're not regretting it. Rashford makes a lot of sense. He's probably most likely going to be injured for the rest of the season. João Pedro is suspended. He did get a red card, and he will be missing the next 3 weeks. Unlucky for João Pedro owners. He's gone. Saka needs to be moved out. He played the full 90 against PSG. There is no way that Arteta is going to be risking him. I wouldn't even be surprised if Saka got no minutes this week against Bournemouth. I would not be surprised at all if he's entirely not in the squad. Bruno Fernandes generally plays for Manchester United, regardless of whether they're in Europe or not. I just think that they, again, we haven't seen that game yet because it's played tonight. I just think that Bruno Fernandes isn't risked on the weekend. I think they should, in theory, just be playing a very rotated team as well. Ruben Amorim always surprises me, but I just think that that's probably the case. Aina, he just needs to be sold, I think, at this point. There's better defenders that are fit and available. Yes, he's probably nearing a return, but I don't think you can hold at this time of the season if you are desperate for a decent defender. Mateta makes a lot of sense. He was massively underwhelming in general, other than that last goal against Arsenal in that last game of double game week 33. But he's been a disappointment. Having owned him, not good enough, really. I didn't own him for that. Kirkez, Clivert, Bournemouth's fixtures between now and 37 are no good. 38, if you wanted to hold them and you can bench them till 38, they have an amazing fixture on the last day of the season with Leicester at home. But it makes sense. You could be targeting much better players in the next three game weeks for sure. Marmoush, I'm not sure why people are selling him. I kind of get it, because some of the other forwards are ridiculously in form, and trying to fit three of them in at the moment is proving relatively difficult. And if I have multiple transfers, maybe I would sell Marmoush as well. But I don't think if I've got one or two that I'd be selling Marmoush with the run of fixtures they've got coming up. Munoz, again, makes sense. Crystal Palace, I don't think the fixtures are that easy. I think they're going to be pretty tight, and they're definitely going to be focused on the FA Cup. So again, that kind of makes sense. Strand, Larsen, Cunha, I understand why they're being sold. Wolves against Man City this week, I don't think either of them are getting any points other than two appearance points. Maybe they get booked and it might be one. I can't see either of them getting any returns in this game. Tawoski, obviously done for the season. He needs to be sold and moved on. Ismaili Assar, again, a bit like Munoz and Mateta, I understand it. I sold Ismaili Assar in 34 and I have no intention of bringing him back. Luis Diaz, I think now that Liverpool won the league, we will see some rotation there. And for that reason, I think Diaz is perfectly fine as a sell. Dalot, obviously out injured, not ideal, wrong time of the season for this, being a Man United fan. And Gabriel sneaks in at number 20. Lots of people still have him. 13% of the comp still own him. He's done for the season. He needs to be moved on see you later, see you next year. And it comes to the transferred in. Brian Mbeumo makes so much sense. I think he is the best player in the game to buy this week. Cunha doesn't make as much sense. Now, Cunha, I think post this week against Man City, will be fine between now and the end of 38. But I just think there are better forwards with better fixtures. I don't have Cunha anywhere near that position. He doesn't even make my top six forwards to buy this week, FYI. I just think there's better forwards to be targeting than Cunha. Yes, he had an amazing game. That game has been and gone. It was against Leicester. There's no more Leicesters for Wolves for the rest of the season. Maybe Bright might be the closest they come to it. I don't think so. For me, it's not a go. Maybe if that Crystal Palace game gets pushed into 36 as a double before the FA Cup final, then Cunha becomes an option in 36. But other than that, I don't really rate it. Gvardiol, Marmoush make a lot of sense. Man City have amazing fixtures coming up, and I expect them to demolish Wolves, and I expect them to demolish Southampton the week after. Wissa joining my mate Mbeumo. The Brentford boys, I own them in my team. I bought them both in game week 34, and I'm hoping they go absolutely ham tonight. Hopefully, when you're watching this, they are increasing my rank back inside the top 6,000 with some luck. Obviously, I've had to wait a long time for my three of my team to play. I've obviously got Milinkovic as well. Rodgers, I understand it. He's probably Aston Villa's best midfielder to buy. If you had Marcus Rashford and you're interested, I think Rodgers is probably a really good bet. Aston Villa still have lots to play for as well. Crystal Woody Woodpecker actually should be the number two forward to bring in this week. Outside of Wissa, I think Wood is definitely the next best. He's got an amazing run of fixtures. He's got Leicester in 36. He's got West Ham in 37. The man has been having one of those goat seasons. I wouldn't be surprised if he got more Wood between now and the end of the season. Jared Bowen, ditto. He is amazing. Trossard, I wouldn't be going too near until Arsenal out of the Champions League. And then if they're out of the Champions League, I think that Trossard might even just be rotated to the bench and they'll play other players. I don't know if I'd be going there. I think that ship has been sailed into the night. Pickford is an amazing buy. I think he is the best goalkeeper to buy, and it is the transfer that I am weighing up this week for my own team for David Raya. For the next 3 weeks, it makes so much sense. I think the clean sheet odds potential this week is highest for Everton, which makes a lot of sense. Also, why Mikalenko and Braithwaite feature on this list. I'm surprised that O'Brien's not on here. He's actually the top scoring Everton defender since he came into the team. So that's something that's interesting. I'm surprised he's not in there. Milinkovic, I understand why he's being bought. Nottingham Forest do come into a nice run, and they've been elite for defensive data all season long. Watkins, I think, is a really good buy. I think he's even better than Isak between now and the end of the season. So I really like that as a bit of a differential. Trippier and Murphy, I think that boat's been missed. Newcastle's fixtures do get tougher. Yes, they're fighting for Europe. Maybe they can continue that form, but the fixtures are a lot trickier. Sessegnon, I'm not sure about that one. Fulham's run is not that good. I don't think he's going to continue scoring goals at the rate he's been going. Maybe I'm wrong. And Saka, why are people buying him? I think he's 100% 90 minutes on the bench this week. He'd be lucky if he get 20 minutes max, I reckon, tops this week in game week 35. So the best goalkeeper buys this week, and it's only two goalkeepers, and you can see why. Pickford has Ipswich at home this week, Fulham away, followed by Southampton at home, and then Newcastle away. Now, realistically, you don't want to be playing him on the last day of the season, but the other 3 weeks look really good for Pickford. Then you look at Selves. Crystal Palace away this week, Leicester at home, West Ham United away, and Chelsea at home. Again, Selves has been amazing all season long. He's had 13 clean sheets. Pickford's had 10. Pickford's had one extra bonus point compared to Selves. When you look at the expected goals conceded per 90, Pickford's 1.24, Selves is 1.29. There's not a hell of a lot between them. 15.2% owned Pickford, 19.7% owned Selles. They cost the exact same amount of money. They are both exceptionally good buys. And I think if you've got David Raya, and like for me, if a Bruggen, or if maybe you've got an Areola or someone else on your bench, I actually think you can justify a goalkeeper transfer this week based on the upside that they're probably going to get you a lot more points than Raya's going to get the next 3 weeks. And that's probably what a lot of other people are going to be starting with, is David Raya. So for that reason, I really don't mind the transfer in the goalkeeper department this week for that reason. On to the defenders, the best buys and sells this week. And look, let's start with the sells. Anthony Robertson, yellow flagged, probably needs to be moved though. As you can see from the fixtures there, Aston Villa away, Everton at home, Brentford away. Not amazing fixtures. I don't think they're going to be keeping many clean sheets, and he is yellow flagged. Aina, ditto, the fixtures are amazing, but when you're yellow flagged and it's this time of the season and you're taking up that amount of budget, 5.2, and you can go straight to Milinkovic or someone else, it's a bit of a no-brainer. Just move him on. Pedro Porro, how so many people still own this man? It must just be dead teams from the start of the season. I think he's still almost 15% ownership. Tottenham don't defend. They actually don't defend at all, and they're in Europe. They're no good. The fixtures aren't horrible, but you just can't be going anywhere near there. Spurs are just awful. Kirkez, the fixtures, as I said, the next 3 weeks, no good at all. Arsenal, Aston Villa, Nottingham Forest. I don't think they're keeping any clean sheets there. Maybe he gets an attacking return, but again, he's a fine sell. Ain't Nori, ditto. I don't think Wolves are keeping too many clean sheets between now and the end of the season. Yes, he might get an attacking return, but I can't see any clean sheets between now and the end of the season. It's ditto for Virgil van Dijk. They've just won the league. There's no way that they're going to be sitting there paying anywhere near as much attention to what they should be doing because they've won. Like, they don't need anything else. They're not in Europe. There's nothing to play for. They're just literally seeing out the last four games. It's going to be a bit of a title party. And we all know, history says, there'll be no more clean sheets. Any Liverpool defender, I think, for that reason, is a definite sell this particular game week. On to the buys. And I think a lot of people have been buying Braithwaite, as I said, but I think O'Brien actually, I might have got this order wrong. I think O'Brien might actually be number one and Mikalenko in at number two. Either way, Mikalenko's got more attacking threat. O'Brien's just been brilliant since he's come into the team for Everton. Hasn't missed a beat. The elite level, expected goals conceded with O'Brien and the team, 1.06. Like, that is elite. When you look at Van Dijk down there, 0.85 expected goals conceded per 90. O'Brien's elite. Mikalenko obviously conceded a bit more, 1.3 there, but he does have a higher attacking threat. But again, he's only got two assists for the season. O'Brien, I just think for me, is the where I would go. I know he's 0.2 million more. I don't think budget should be too much of an issue at this point in time. Now, Milinkovic and Nico Williams, there's 0.7 million between them. And obviously, there's not much between the numbers. So an XGI of 0.13 for Milinkovic, 0.14 for Nico Williams. Nico Williams has actually had a lot of shots in the box of late without getting a goal. I just think that Milinkovic against some of these teams that we're playing against over the next few weeks, even tonight against Brentford, I wouldn't be surprised if he got a return because he's really good in the box off corners. Nottingham Forest pride themselves on that. For that reason, I prefer Milinkovic. He's in my team. Nico Williams isn't. And that's for that reason and that reason alone. Gvardiol, I think, then comes in next. Again, Manchester City, I think they will definitely, I would expect them to keep two clean sheets over the next 2 weeks. Most people buy have already owned him. But again, if you're tripling up on City, he has to be involved. And then Collins, one of my differentials this week, very low owned. But that run of fixtures, Manchester United home, Ipswich away, Fulham at home, screams points, potentially clean sheets. And he's got 0.11 XGI involvement per 90. Also really good. Again, the defensive data, not quite there. But he scored over 100 points this season. You could do a lot worse than going for a Collins punt. The best midfielder buys, Brian Mbeumo, has to be number one by a country mile. The dude is a flat-track bully, and he is going to be playing some of the easiest teams over the next coming weeks. Manchester United at home, worried about Europe. He is going to, unless he gets injured tonight, touch wood he doesn't, he's going to absolutely go absolutely ham, I reckon. Great captaincy option this week. Ipswich away the following week, and we all know he loves to flat-track bully the relegated teams. He's done it all season long. He's had double-figure hauls, I think, on three or four occasions in the five games already versus those teams. I wouldn't be surprised if he backed it up yet again. Jared Bowen, fantastic option as well. Great fixtures on paper. Tottenham are probably going to field a C-strength team against him on the weekend. Jared Bowen, maybe this is the week where he goes absolutely massive. I don't mind him as a captain, as you see out yet. Either this week. Kevin De Bruyne, the farewell tour. Again, he's really good. Again, really good underlying attacking data for him as well. If he starts and we're dodging Pep Roulette, I think De Bruyne could finish his Premier League career with Man City with an absolute bang. Great option. Gibbs White comes in at number four. Again, the fixtures are very nice. And he plays 90 minutes, which is why I've got him in here instead of Elanga, why I've got him in here instead of Hudson-Odoi. Really good fixtures. And I think if I was on my old card, 100% I'd have Gibbs White in my team. Because I'm not, I'm probably not going to go with him. Doucouré comes in, and this one is a punt, but it's that time of the year. Doucouré's looked amazing since he's become back into the team for David Moyes. And his XGI isn't overly good. But something tells me Doucouré is going to go big in one of these three games. And for that reason, you are playing the fixtures at this time of the year. He comes in at number five, and Rodgers comes in at number six. He's just a really good budget enabler, and he's probably the pick of them through to the end of the season, especially with Aston Villa chasing Europe. I think that's going to be important. The fixtures aren't too bad, and you would expect them to score goals in each of these games. In terms of the midfielder sells, it's Saka, 100% number one sell this week. If he plays any minutes this weekend, I'll be absolutely shocked. Why would you risk him when PSG, you're 1-0 down, you need him at his absolute peak fitness, and he's just played 90 minutes, so you know he can play it. I wouldn't be risking him at all this particular weekend. So for that reason, based on that understanding and my thought process, Saka is definitely the number one sell this week. He's followed very closely by Cole Palmer, who's been massively disappointing. I don't expect him to do very well against the big teams. Maybe he does, or maybe all of a sudden he shows up just to remind everyone that hello, I'm Cole Palmer. But I don't know. I just can't see it myself. And it's amazing. These guys, underlying data for like all these six players I'm recommending selling, is elite. It's been elite all season long, except that the returns just haven't been there the last 2 weeks, especially for Saka and Palmer. Rashford, as we know, is injured through to the end of the season, most likely. He, for that reason, is on here. Otherwise, I think he'd actually be a pretty good buy. But unfortunately, he's going to be injured, and that means he needs to be sold. Luis Diaz, those fixtures are no joke. I don't expect Liverpool to continue the free-flowing goal scoring we saw against Tottenham. And I do expect Luis Diaz to be rotated now that the league's been won. So for that reason, he has to be sold. Bruno Fernandes, I think, is going to be worried about Europe. Maybe if they get kicked out, he is a hold. But for me, I just think I expect Man United to hopefully progress, being a Man United fan, eternal optimist right here. I think for that reason, he's also a sell. And Jacob Murphy, the fixtures get much harder for Newcastle. He's only playing 60 to 70 minutes at best. Yes, he's continued to return. He's also in my team, but he's also someone that I'm thinking about moving on for Kevin De Bruyne and my own team with that punt on Man City. I just prefer the fixtures. And at this time of the year, it is all about the fixtures play moving forward. And lastly, on to the forward buyers this week. Wissa is number one. He is the best forward in the game, I believe, between now and the end of the season. The Brentford boys, the double up, has been absolutely firing of late. They got 29 points in game week 33. If they get anywhere near that tonight, I am back, baby, and I'm going to finish inside the top 1,000. So I'm hoping they can do something similar tonight. Ideally, a Wissa double would be absolutely fantastic for my rank, considering each point he makes me tonight is going to be worth 160 places in rank. Crystal Woody Woodpecker comes in at number two. That fixture run is no joke, a bit like Wissa's. And they're both great captaincy options in game week 36. Honestly, it's just unbelievable how good those fixtures are for both of them that week. Marmoush then comes in at number three because Haaland is still, we're still waiting to hear official word about whether he's going to be fit. We will hear from Pep Guardiola tonight in his pre-match press conference. That's going to be interesting to hear. If we hear that Haaland's fit, maybe Marmoush drops down the pecking order in terms of forwards to buy because Haaland is probably going to be back over the next couple of weeks. And for that reason, I think you'd be better off just buying Haaland if he is fit. That is a big if. Now, Watkins, he comes in there in front of Isak. I think that he will outscore Isak based on the fixtures and the fact that Rashford's no longer there, which means that Watkins' minutes are going to be almost guaranteed for the end of the season. And for that reason, I think you want to show Emery what he has been missing, really, with Watkins out of the team. I expect him to go absolutely ham and outscore Isak between now and the end of the season. Isak's obviously in there because he's just an elite forward. The data doesn't lie. 0.68 expected goals per 90 is just unbelievable. Like, it's better than anyone else on this list by some distance. And he's also got 0.13 expected assists per 90. Like, the dude is elite. He's absolutely elite. Vardy comes in at number six. I think the Vardy party's going to pop. It's either going to be this week or against Southampton, or maybe it might even be against Nottingham Forest in an absolute shock in game week 36. But I think the Vardy party is going to go off in style. In terms of the forward sells, João Pedro, easy sell this week. He's suspended for the next 3 weeks. He just needs to be shown the door. See you later. Plus, the fixtures are no good for Brighton either, which does not help their case. Mateta, ditto. He just hasn't been playing that many games post 60 minutes since that mask injury. And I think for that reason, you've just got to move him on. And they are going to be worried about the FA Cup. I think there's better forwards above that you should be targeting. Raul Jimenez, Welbeck, Strand Larsen, the fixtures just aren't there. They're budget options, and I think there's better budget options if you're shopping in those areas that have got better fixtures between now and 38. And for that reason, you can justify selling all three of them. All three of them on their day can score points, but if you're playing the fixtures, they're not scoring points. And that's just my honest opinion on that. And Cody Gakpo, ditto, Liverpool won the league, rotation there. He also gets subbed quite early, and the fixtures are not very good for Liverpool attackers over the next few weeks. And for that reason, I think he is also 100% a sell this particular game week. So my potential transfer for game week 35. Now I've got one free transfer and I've got 7.4 million in the bank. Realistically, I could do Jacob Murphy to Kevin De Bruyne, because I've got the money in the bank, and just take that punt. I could do David Raya to Pickford, who might actually be the best upside transfer because I expect Pickford to keep clean sheets. I don't expect Raya to keep them. Or I just roll the transfer and I wait to see what's going on. I use the exact money I've got in the bank to upgrade Marmoush to Erling Haaland for game week 36. Now, I would not be bringing in Haaland for game week 35. That doesn't seem responsible. But if he's available and he's fit for game week 36, what a differential that will be. Also, with my triple captaincy still in hand, if he is fit, it's a bit of a no-brainer bringing in Haaland and then playing it on him. Especially with that Southampton game in 36. And if Bournemouth got bought forward as well and it became a double game week, it just looks so appealing on paper to play it on one of those players. So what my current squad looks like is on the left. It's got 101.5 million squad value. I've got 7.4 million in the bank. As I said, I could do either of those three moves. Ideally, I will be playing Raya this week with Gvardiol, Milenkovic, and maybe Munoz. Dan Burn, I feel like, is a bit stiff to miss out there. I do want to see what happens in the Nottingham Forest game tonight. If Nottingham Forest get absolutely rolled by Brentford, it might be that Milinkovic drops to the bench and it's Munoz, Gvardiol and Dan Burn. In the midfield, I'm pretty happy with my midfield. I've already got very good options for this particular game week. Jared Bowen's got an amazing fixture. Mo Salah, Buemo. It's a matter of toss-up between who starts out of Murphy and Clivert. That may well come down to the deadline stream. And then it's Wissa, Isak and Marmoush. Now, if you're on wildcard, I think if there's no blanks or doubles, that's the team I would go to 100%. It costs 103 million, 0.7 million squad value. 4.4 million when I put this together using the app was left in the bank. And you've got beautiful rotation across every line between now and the end of the season. And everyone's got something to play for. The only worry in this draft is Kevin De Bruyne. Like, does he get Pep Roulette in one game? But other than that, everyone else just looks like they're going to, it screams points to me between now and the end of the season. And I think that that is probably the best wildcard draft you could put together for game week 35. The only thing you might do differently is maybe you'd have sells in for Pickford, but it's entirely up to whichever one you want. That's where I'll be going. And that's what I think a best wildcard draft looks like in game week 35. So that brings me to the end of my top transfer tips. Tomorrow I'm going to have out an exceptionally early, it's going to be out at like 7, 8 a.m. UK time, my team selection and final plugs. The reason why it's not coming out today is because we're still waiting on game week 34 to finish. And it is a very tight turnaround. So I will get that out early so you can see what I'm going to do. I'm going to cover all the last minute things. I'm going to cover whether Brentford boys did perform, whether they didn't. Maybe Nottingham Forest keep a clean sheet and that's just going to kill my rank. I'm not sure. Maybe Chris Wood sits there and outscores all three of my players on one hit. That would be just really disappointing. But that's my transfer tips. Let me know what moves you are thinking of making in the comments and I'll catch you tomorrow for team selection and final plugs and then the deadline stream, which will be on Friday afternoon going into the early evening UK time. I'll also be on FPL Have a Beers podcast after the deadline stream tomorrow. So if you're one of those regular watchers, go out and give him a follow. I'll be on there and I don't know what we're going to be talking about, but it's going to be brilliant and it's going to be fun. If you've made it all the way through to the end of this, drop us a like. And if you haven't already, please subscribe as well. I've been the D in it. I'll catch you tomorrow.